This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. It is a Thursday morning and a little chilly out there this morning. At least we don't have that pouring rain we had last night as I was driving home. Carl Middleman from the Odyssey Awards ceremony. How'd you like that last night?
I did not get to go last year because of a hockey game, but I went this year at the MAC. It was...
Yeah,
I enjoyed those chicken skewers. I had
Carl
12
and I
of them.
We went for the food and the drink. We did not come away award winners, although we were every year were the winners of the Mark Cox Morning Show Award, as you know.
Yeah.
But besides that.
But we have a previous award winner sitting right here.
We do.
Hi, Kim.
Hey, Kim.
Hi.
Rookie of the year last year, right?
Last year, yep.
Absolutely. And you didn't see this, but they doctored your photo. This year, they updated it with AI, just so you know.
Is that two letters?
It's two letters.
Yes.
I'm just kidding you. They did take last year's winners and put up the picture of some current star,
Blake
some movie
Lively,
star.
I believe, is what, who you were.
Oh, really?
That's pretty funny. Is she being sued? Did I read that today?
She's suing and being countersued.
I really know nothing about that, except I saw her name on a headline and something about being sued, and I'm like, okay. All right. And again, I didn't even know who it was, Carl, when they put the picture up. I'm glad you said who that was.
Blake Lively.
I didn't know. I didn't know at all.
Ryan Reynolds' wife. Deadpool's wife.
There you go. All right. Well, that's just what Carl and I had a little bit of fun. I didn't get to go last year either. So we got to go down to the MAC and kind of enjoy ourselves a little bit last night and then drive home in a pouring rain. It was a mess.
Wasn't that bad. And if someone said to us last night, Ethan and I were sitting there, and someone came up to us and said, all right, I'm going to Irish goodbye now. And I said, if you tell someone you're Irish goodbying,
you're
are
not
you
Irish
really
goodbying.
Irish goodbying? But she's like, well, I'm just telling you guys.
Oh.
And then she bolted.
Hey, I stayed till the end, and you and Ethan accused me of leaving early.
There is a name that we are not going to mention who said, I'm out. And left before everything started.
Ah, I know who that is. But it doesn't matter. Sometimes you have to make appearances.
I mean,
those
that
things
person wasn't nominated
to get your,
for anything.
Point, right. Nah, neither was I. That's all right.
Yet.
That's okay.
We're going to lay the groundwork.
Oh, man. All right. We got so much stuff. There's so much stuff going on. Apparently, if I understand this right, correct me if I'm wrong, Kim St. Ange, the Board of Aldermen punted again on the Rams settlement money. They could not reach an agreement on the Rams settlement money. Is this true?
Yeah, that was Tuesday they met, and they couldn't agree on it, so it's basically dead for the remainder of this session.
Because Friday, tomorrow, they take their break for the election, which is coming up in April. So they all vacate the premises and go out and campaign for each other, or for whoever
or
their candidate is, or against each other. I would have to say that failure by the board probably reflects even more poorly on on Megan Green and Tashar Jones.
Huh.
What do you think?
Isn't one member of the board running against Tashar Jones?
Well, that would
Jones?
Be Kara Spencer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it reflects poorly as much on Kara Spencer, so that probably would be to her benefit. But I
probably.
Think the bigger factor will be the epic failure of the snow clearing.
Yeah, it could
for
be
Tashar Jones.
That ultimately could be it. There are a lot of people out there that are angry and at the ineffectiveness of the Jones administration here in town, for sure. Les Sturman, who used to run the East West Gateway Council, I saw him on Twitter calling this an absolute failure. Well, and other people are like, well, actually, we're probably better off with all of the millions of dollars sitting in a bank account gaining interest instead of being wasted with this plan that they came up with, which did send no money to public safety at all, hardly, except like they upgrades on a building or something. But really, seriously, you got all kinds of problems out there. And we're shipping money off to basically paying off constituents or interested parties.
I didn't get any.
Yeah, Carl, send some to Carl, and we'll be all right with it. We'll put our stamp of approval on it. That's what we need. I got to tell you, I've been enjoying. I was talking to some friends before I went to the event last night, and I have been enjoying the hell out of these meltdowns by the left over the Gaza comments. I mean, they're like squirrels. They're just easily distracted, and now they're all mad about this. We're going to talk more about this through the course of the morning. I heard an interesting conversation earlier, I'm sure Kim did too, on the Gordon Deal Show, which precedes this. And they talked to a Wall Street Journal reporter who covers the Middle East. And her conclusion is, well, you know, Egypt's against it and Jordan's against it. And she's listing all these countries that hate Israel anyway. Of course they're against it because they don't want all of the They don't want the Palestinian problem moved to their country. They're perfectly happy with it being where it is, making Israel miserable and killing Israelis. They don't want a solution. And Donald Trump is clearly thinking outside the box here. Hegseth, others went on last night, said these rumors of U.S. troops on the ground, overblown. That's never been part of the discussion. This is a strategy. It's a long-term strategy. So just buckle your seatbelt, Democrats, and wait to see this as it unfolds. I think you're going to, again, be surprised at the outcome. That's my take on it. Coming up a little bit later, we are going to talk to Jim Talent, of course, as usual, on a Thursday. Adam Schnelting is going to join us. He's got some great ideas, some great like when it comes to concealed carry on Metro, he's got some great bills pending out there right now. And a couple of them have been assigned to committee, which is the first step to getting them into reality. And we're going to talk to him about that at 7:35. Shannon Bream, Griff Jenkins are going to join us this morning. So we're going to get to all of that for you coming up in just a minute right after our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I, Pamela Bondi, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Yes, indeed. Pam Bondi walks into office and is already shaking things up on day one. This is the disruptor that we needed at the Department of Justice.
In Los Angeles in 2028, my administration will not stand by and watch men beat and batter female athletes, and we're just not going to let it happen.
Thank you, Donald Trump. You know, yesterday we talked about it was a women and girls sports day, and he goes on surrounded by children, boys and girls, and signs that executive order preventing boys from competing against our daughters.
Every stereotype he's smashed. You know, they say he's anti-Semitic. First visit was Bibi. They say he's this dictator. Like you said, he delegated Doge to Elon.
Jesse Waters last night had a pretty good monologue there. That was him talking on the Five. But I thought he did a fantastic job pointing out just how ridiculous some of these criticisms are. And they do.
State Senator Adam Schnelting from St. Charles proposing a bill that would add to the Keep Right laws by adding signs to Missouri highways and a larger emphasis on those laws to those in driver's ed.
Yeah, some of the TV coverage yesterday of Senator Schnelting. We're going to have him on a little later, talking about some of his bills. I guess it would include getting people out of the left lane. So we're gonna get his thoughts on that here coming up. When we come back, I want to talk more about the executive order the president signed yesterday. And if you haven't read this, maybe what the bigger issue is here is the reaction from the left to it. And Scott Jennings, again, on CNN, keeps hitting him out of the ballpark over there, pointing out just how wrong the Democrats have been on all of these issues. It's why they got trounced in the election, and they still don't get it. It's like you lost on this issue, but you're going to keep hammering it. And it's why the Democratic Party has huge negatives in the polling right now. We're going to get to that and more for you coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Carl, who has our national anthem this morning?
As Kim mentioned today, there's a Blues game, so wake.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, bootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pick up Jeremy Boyer.
He's describing what is currently the dumbest strategy in politics, which is Democrats taking the 20% side of every 80-20 issue in America. USAID, people want this pared down. They want it streamlined. They want to know where the money is going. Democrats have a meltdown. Today, Donald Trump signs executive order on keeping boys out of girls' sports. Democrats take the 20 side of that issue as well. All these issues, this is like Trump's superpower, finding a bunch of 80-20 issues, getting on the 80, and everybody who's sort of reflexively against him gets on the 20. And now the Democratic Party has like a 31% approval rating. This is why.
I don't know.
He's describing what is.
Yeah. There you have it. Jennings is, again, spot on. He's crushing it over at CNN. And, you know, here's the thing about it. And I said this one time and actually pissed some people off here at the station, I would have to say. But he's pretty moderate, and he was not a big pro-Trump guy. Scott Jennings did not want Trump to run for re-election. He didn't think he was going to get re-elected. But now that he has been reelected, and once he got the nomination, I think Jennings was on board with what he was saying and what he was wanting to do to the country. He's really come around. So, you know, we have a little bit of a problem in Trump world, in my opinion. And the problem we have in Trump world is a lot of it that was reflected in the by some of the grassroots people here in Missouri. I'll just have to say that there is a a legion of people who believe if you weren't on board with Trump back in 2015 when he came down the escalator, that you were you're less than. I'm just making an observation here, right? So if you got on board after the primary, once he'd already beaten everybody else, they don't think you're as pro-Trump as they are.
Yeah, that's called being egotistical.
Well,
I know people like that, and it's disgusting. It is totally an ego. You think you're better than because you always were loyal to Trump. Congratulations. Would you like an award? Do you want a high five? Do you think you're some loyalist? You're not better than. Many people, myself included, but I'm not just defending this because I'm among them. Many people did not like Trump during his first term and came on board with his second term. Or many people like Scott Jennings didn't even want Trump reelected. And once he was reelected, they kind of got behind him and they're seeing that he's doing a lot of good. So it's the same. Those people who say you had to have supported Trump through his the entire time he's been in politics are the same people who, if you say one negative thing, if you say you disagree with something that Trump said or an action that he took, that all of a sudden you're a traitor and you clearly are not a Trump supporter. Like, I'm sorry, I am going to disagree with some things that Trump does. I don't always like what Trump says, but I proudly voted for Trump. People, I'm so tired of people making this all or nothing argument.
You see it, that's as part of my defense of Jennings. He has come around, and he spreads more common sense than anybody else on CNN, so I'm really glad that he's over there. And he's from Kentucky. Like, Reardon's had him on as a guest for years now, and I don't think maybe he knew him personally at some point, and Scott comes on his show. I used to come on the show pretty regularly. I don't get to listen every day. I don't know if he's been on recently or not. But he does a great job pointing out things like that. Like the women, the men in women's sports bill that the president signed yesterday. Carl, go ahead and play cut four, please.
Marco is going to make clear to the International Olympic Committee is there, and he's going to make it as clear as anybody can make it, that America categorically rejects transgender lunacy. We want them to change everything having to do with the Olympics and having to do with this absolutely ridiculous subject, that we even have to talk about this subject.
Was this not just in the nick of time? I mean, the Olympics are going to be in L.A., right? Aren't they doing that?
Isn't that 2026?
Yeah, it's coming up. It'll be during Trump's term. So he'll be able to affect Olympic policy, because if you're coming here to have the Olympics, don't plan on any country bringing any male competitors to compete against females.
Well, the thing is, they're going to have to do all this testing, because remember the whole debacle with the...
Yeah.
The boxer, and they were saying that he was like born almost like a hermaphrodite, like he was born with some parts, but then to me it seemed like the decision was that he actually was a male, but there was some confusion with that. So they will have to do some sort of testing if people want to claim that I am a woman.
They might have to do that for some of the WNBA players if they field a women's basketball team again. I don't know. I mean, I guess they might have to do that, but that picture of Donald Trump when he welcomed all those kids to step up behind the desk as he signed that EO yesterday sent a chill down my spine. Because you talk about somebody who is putting his money where his mouth is and protecting our children. Imagine the insanity of someone, the mental insanity of someone who thinks it's okay for a man to compete against women in sports. Donald Trump's erasing that stuff one at a time. I'm waiting for the lawsuit. You know, some group of left-wing wackos are going to go out there and try to challenge this. You know what I really miss right now? I really miss Rush Limbaugh. I really wish I could get Rush Limbaugh's take on all of this winning. We'll be back in just a minute.
Kim on a whim.
We've all been behind that really annoying driver where, for whatever reason, they're in the left lane, the fast lane, the passing lane that is specifically designed to pass people, and they are just cruising in that one and not getting over, refusing to get over, driving slowly. And in really bad cases of maybe road rage, we've seen it where somebody will get over in that other lane and drive at the same speed as the other vehicle so that you cannot pass. That's very irritating.
Oh, I can't. I just can't tell you. It would. There are times when I understand why somebody would get rage while driving. Not road rage. Not an excuse for violence. Don't take that the wrong way in any sense of the form. But there are people who must have never taken a driver's ed course in their life, who think it's okay to do 50 miles an hour while reading their phone in the left lane. That drives me insane.
I think there are people who probably are ignorant to that, knowing that the left lane is designed to pass. But I think the majority of people know that and do not care. They are just selfish.
Yeah.
It's my way or the highway. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I don't care if it inconveniences you or if I'm going far below the speed limit and you have to then stay behind me for 10 miles on the interstate and you're fuming. But yes, I would never, ever let it escalate to the point of feeling like I needed to go shoot somebody like we've seen play out all across the country. That's just sad if you get that angry about it. But I do appreciate what State Senator Adam Schnelting has proposed. It's this Keep Right bill, and it's just that. It's making people more aware of what's going on. And I want you to hear a clip because Channel 4 went out and did a story on this and interviewed Schnelting.
State Senator Adam Schnelting from St. Charles proposing a bill that would add to the Keep Right laws by adding signs to Missouri highways and a larger emphasis on those laws to those in driver's ed.
We're talking about individuals oftentimes who are being passive aggressive, who will drive at 65 miles an hour and go side by side with a semi, and they'll stay there for 10 miles.
Senator Schnelting says his goal is to decrease the number of road rage incidents. The bill also creates fines for those who continue to ride in the left lane for too long, starting at $100 and increasing for repeat offenders.
You get bit one too many times, you decide, you know what, I should really obey the law.
Well, I hope so. I think it's a really good idea. I hope this passes. And if it does pass, I hope police enforce this. I hope that they do start pulling people over. And the hard part about this is, at what point do you feel as though you can pull someone over? Like, if they're in the left lane, how long do they have to be in that left lane riding it, refusing to get over, before you say, okay, you've been in that lane too long, I'm going to pull you over and ticket you $100. You know, there has to be some sort of a threshold for that. But I think this is a great idea. I think it's necessary because people don't know how to drive.
The immediate reactions that I saw for it yesterday, when I read the comments on that story, is that most people believe that our overworked law enforcement officers are not going to enforce that law. That even if it passes, they got too many other things to worry about than people going slow in the left lane. I maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's some out there who are just peeved about it like I am, who will be glad there's now a law they can enforce for somebody driving in the left lane. Because my guess is it would be a corrective action, don't you think? I mean, I think you would only get a ticket once for going slow in the left lane. You would get the message. So if they hand out enough tickets, maybe these morons will realize you only use the left lane to pass.
You're giving people too much credit. You'd think after your first, second, third DUI that maybe you'd consider getting an Uber, but no. People have subsequent DUIs.
That's a little different.
It's a little different, but it's the same thing with people going super fast and speeding and running stop signs. People don't care. There's a lack of concern for other drivers. The logical person, you're right, would say, you know what? Wow, that really stunk. I did not like paying that fine. Maybe I should get over and stop just driving in the left lane. But I just don't know if that's going to happen. Now, what this would do is it would give officers an opportunity to pull someone over if, say, they think there's something else going on with that vehicle. It would give them cause to pull them over and say, hey, you've been riding in the left lane. You can't do that. It's against the law. Also, and then maybe they get to the real reason why they pulled him over.
Well, one of our commenters here on the Facebook page, Debbie, is pointing out that her son stops every darn one of them. Unfortunately, most cops don't. And my experience is, like, my friends who are in the city police department will understand where this criticism comes from. They've got too damn much else to do to worry about traffic stops. They're understaffed. They're overworked. Most of them are working doubles to cover for the lack of funding by the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. They don't have time to do routine traffic stops. It's why it's just accepted that you can drive around with expired plates forever in the city and get away with it. Mm-hmm. So here's what I might say. And, you know, we're going to have Adam Schnelting on later. In 735, we can ask him about this. Maybe the key is make the fine high enough, and that will get their attention. You can drive in the left lane at your own peril, but if you get caught, the first offense is $300. Mm-hmm. And then that will get people's attention.
I mean, I have stayed in the left lane, but it's because I feel like the other car... I've stayed in it for a while, but it's because I feel like I'm continuing to pass vehicles. I don't feel it necessary every single time I get in front of a vehicle, I'm trying to pass it. I need to get over to the next lane and then go back over and then get... That's just excessive. So I will stay in the left lane if I'm planning to continue passing everybody, and then I'll get over.
There's a comment on here, I'm sure poking me, but from Scooter this morning, asking about the zipper merge. I'm wondering if I can convince Adam Schnelting to add some language to his bill that would ban the zipper merge.
Well,
let's just ban it. And that, because it will never work in St. Louis. It will never work. If you put your turn signal on to change lanes, people close the gap just to screw you. I've seen it happen too many times. And, well, and the other thing about it is,
mean people do that. I would try to let someone over unless they're being a jerk about it and they're clearly waiting until the last minute and driving up
past
everybody.
That's what they do.
Well, okay. Then in that case, I might feel a little inclined to say, you know what? You can sit there for a minute and wait because we all, you know, as we should have, got over sooner and have been sitting in this long line.
That's why the zipper merge will never work, because you've got people who will take advantage of it. I almost called them buttheads. And my friend Senator Kennedy would have said, I called him a butthead and I'm in it. I've got that drop here somewhere. But my point is, when there's a they want you to zipper merge, use both lanes coming up to a blocked lane and then back off and let the people in the other lane smoothly merge in, and then the traffic will all go faster in a perfect world. In a perfect world. But there's no perfect world, because Carl, is my computer up over here for a moment? This is why.
I think I called him a butthead in a minute.
Too many people use that to race up ahead of everybody else and then cut over at the last second. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why the zipper merge will never work. We should just ban it.
Those are the same people who come up to a four-way stop and the car in front of them just went and they try to go too when it's clearly not their turn. The other issue with trying to pull people over and actually enforce this would be, I would imagine that some of the people who consistently do this, not just every now and then, I'm talking about like they have zero regard for other drivers and they just cruise in the left lane all the time, could be the same people that they wouldn't want to stop because they'd be those crazy drivers who might just pull a gun on you. You know, they're the ones who are going to take off. And in many cases, these cops can't chase them because it would be considered unsafe to the other drivers. So as soon as they take off and start going 95 miles per hour, they've lost them.
Well, Sean just commented on here that Indiana has a law like this. You can't drive slow in the left lane. I guess, again, the point is, will they enforce it? If it's not enforced, like, you know, that I think on the section of 6440, at least, it may be this way on 270. I remember covering this one time. There is a law that truck drivers are supposed to use the right two lanes. They're not supposed to be in the left lane. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that leads to some traffic problems in and of itself. Where the trucks get right next to each other, both going 70 miles an hour, and they can't pass each other because their trucks are governed not to go any faster than that, and then you get backups that are caused by that because a lot of them don't listen to that rule. So, I don't know. Hopefully Adam Schnelting's onto something here. I hope there's an enforcement mechanism. I have to tell you. The people that build the algorithms on Facebook know us well. They do. Because I almost the other day I saw this thing advertised where it's a little neon light that you can put on the back window of your vehicle that shows different hand motions once you pass somebody who's been clogging the left lane. Like with maybe a middle finger sticking up. And it was funny.
Well,
and
I will
have to say I was briefly tempted. But I know what my wife would say to me if I got one of those. So,
by the way, Mark just messaged on Facebook saying, or you're just trying to maintain a safe distance following another car and someone pulls in between the two of you. And I will not use the word that he used. But yeah,
it's true.
I know. I get it. When you're trying to be a good driver and some idiot, you know, doesn't even use a blinker. The lack of blinker is what bothers me. And there's just no warning. They just cut right in front of you. And it takes every, you have to, it's not worth it. You know, you just let it go. I mean, I get irritated, but it's like these days, is it worth it to ride up against them and, you know, get them back and speed up next to them and then you stare them down as you pass them? Trust me, that urge is there for me, but I also would like to arrive wherever I'm going alive. And these days, I just always have the mindset, you might have a gun and be just crazy enough to shoot me over this.
Well, it's possible. You never know these days. James is trying to poke me on here this morning. Says he can't believe I want more laws. He thought I was against more laws. No, I'm against bigger government. I want smaller government, generally speaking. But sometimes you have to pass laws about driving and safety issues that cause people to correct their actions. This is one that might work. We're going to get Senator Adam Schnelting from the 23rd Senate District on the show this morning at 7:35, and we will talk more about this exact issue. So you can download the podcast, you can tune in later, however it works for you. You can go to 971talk.com or the Odyssey app. All right, back in just a minute. Stay tuned. One more question, Kim, we'll have to have for Senator Schnelting a bit later. One of my friends in law enforcement texted me and said the Highway Patrol would love this. You can already pull over a vehicle for driving in the fast lane because it's only for passing. So he says it's already a law that you could pull somebody over. It sounds like this would put some teeth in it. Like it would then be, you could then fine them $100, and if they got caught again, the fine would be even higher if there's evidence that you've already been pulled over.
If you can already pull them over now, is it essentially just a warning?
I guess so.
And I'd be curious. I mean, that's great to hear. I'd be curious how often people are getting pulled over and warned then.
Sounds
like it'd be a question for likely Highway Patrol.
Not enough. I mean, it's like Debbie said on the Facebook page there a minute ago. Her son does it, but probably not enough of them do it because it's a little bit of a hassle. And maybe if you're just giving them a warning, there's no paperwork involved. I don't know, but they're probably more interested in finding the idiot who's doing 25 miles over the speed limit. Like, I'm always amazed by that. Like I'm willing to, if the speed limit's 60, I'm willing to do 66, 67, something like that. I think you're usually safe. What's the saying? They said 7, you're fine, 9, you're mine, something like that by members of law enforcement.
I usually do 10 over.
Yeah, so somewhere in that ballpark, I'm willing to exceed. But I'll be doing 65 going down 40, 67, something like that. And people will pass me like I'm sitting still. And I try to guess to myself, how fast must they be going if I'm going almost 70 and they're passing me like I'm sitting still? They got to be doing 80 or 85 miles an hour. They do it all the time. And I never see people getting pulled over for it.
I just don't think people get pulled over in St. Louis for
enough.
Much.
Enough.
Because, like you said, they have such bigger fish to fry.
That's
and we
in
have
the city.
An incompetent local government that refuses to actually see the value in having more officers on the street. Like my dad and I, he was over last night for the Mizzou game. And we were talking about, my parents both grew up in New England, and I can't remember the details of the story, but basically he was saying that they had poured all this money, there were like all these slums, and they took all this money to basically tear those down and build up this nice new housing to put all these people. Well, guess what? 5 years, it was right back to what it was, and it was so decrepit that they had to knock that down. And that's what I think about when they don't want to invest some of that money, the RAM settlement money, all these things, ARPA funds, whatever the case may be, into hiring more police officers, and they want to invest it in infrastructure in North City. Well, guess what? Some of the people do not care about maintaining that in North City. And so you're going to waste this money and it's going to be trash. You're not doing anything about the reason why it's currently trashed. There's a reason why many other places in St. Louis County and even other parts of the city do not look like that. They don't look like a dump. So you're not fixing a problem. You're trying to put a Band-Aid on it. And there's a huge, it's like a hemorrhage. You got to do more than just put a little bluey Band-Aid on it.
Two words, which may not mean anything to you, Kim, but anybody that grew up here will know what I'm talking about. Pruitt-Igoe.
Yeah, I
don't know. That is the living example, the skyscraper public housing units that they built downtown back in the 60s, and they were awful. Just awful. My father-in-law, his first 2 years in law enforcement, was an officer in the city before he moved and got hired by the county police. And he told me horror stories about having to go over there as an officer. And it gets back to the fact that you need to give people a hand up and not a handout, because if they know they're getting something for free and they don't take any ownership in it, it gets abused.
Right.
It does, whether it's free money or free housing.
Yeah, look at college tuition that Biden, how much do you care if it's free college tuition and you have nothing invested in it? You're going to party and say, well, this tossed me nothing. Who cares?
Yep.
I'm going to have fun. C'est la vie, right?
It's true. Yeah, it's why the war on poverty was such an abject failure And I mean, it's not radically different today, but they don't do those high rise buildings anymore. Of course, now they build lower ones like we've got down here off Shodo, which more look more like traditional apartment buildings. And they still get abused and run down, and you people have to have a stake in it. And that was my that was my experience. It really is. If you own an apartment building or you own a house and you rent it Section 8, the upside is you get a portion of the rent every month because the federal government is writing the check. Mm-hmm. Very often the tenant doesn't pay the other half because they don't owe very much to begin with, or some of them get 100% of their rent paid by the government.
Right.
Those are the ones you're likely to have the most trouble with.
Yeah, I know. I remember when my husband and I were renting out a place at the time in South City, and many people reaching out to us asking if we did Section 8, and I said no. Absolutely not. We're not doing that. And there are many investors who like doing that because, like you said, it's a guaranteed paycheck. But there are so many downfalls to that. As an investor, we didn't want to deal with that. That's unnecessary stress.
There are people enriching themselves off of it if they've got a way to get halfway decent tenants in there. But if not, I mean, it's a nightmare because they've got all the rules written to support the tenant. If you complain to the tenant about not paying the rent, they file a complaint with the housing authority, and then you don't get paid by the housing authority till you've settled their complaint. I mean, it's just so one-sided these days. It's crazy. We kind of got off on a tangent there, didn't we? All right, coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk more about the tariffs that Trump is eyeing.
Get more at 971talk.com.